The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destro. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia, and Brooke, we're going to look at some of the biggest questions facing the GM, Danny Briere, this offseason. Brooke, let's get right into it. I think a big one is, what will the Flyers do with Cam Atkinson? He's got one more year left on his contract. Everyone knows the struggles he went through. In the back half of the season, he became a healthy scratch. He kind of dealt with something that he had never dealt with before, and that was a much lesser role. With that 1 year left on his deal, do you think it's a potential buyout option for the Flyers and to kind of free up a spot on their roster for some more younger players?
I think that Atkinson is going to be kind of like a prime opportunity for Briere to show everybody that, you know, like we're sticking to the plan of trying to figure out who's going to be a part of our plan moving forward. And since Cam Atkinson's contract is winding down, he's got about a year left on his deal. Maybe this is an opportunity to buy him out, give Cam a chance to play elsewhere, and try and maybe reestablish a role elsewhere. But, you know, Atkinson's a good guy. He's a hardworking player. He's a great guy in the locker room. But ultimately, you got to move on from some of these guys this year. There's going to be different faces come September, October, when this team gets ready for the 2024-2025 season. And I don't think that Atkinson's going to be a part of it. I think you buy him out. I think it's one of the more easier decisions to make going into this offseason, because he doesn't fit the long-term plan. He was brought in by another GM at his time when he had a different head coach. You know, it's his time has kind of ended here in Philly, and I kind of hope that he has some kind of rejuvenation elsewhere, but it won't be here.
Yeah, watching his exit interview 2 weeks ago, I couldn't help but think of Kevin Hayes year ago at this time. It was just such a similar situation where I'm not sure if Hayes got phased out, but it became very clear that he wasn't a part of this rebuild. He was a bit of an older player that just wasn't meshing with John Tortorella towards the end of things. And he very much knew that a trade was in the works and he was likely going to be playing elsewhere next season. Atkinson just gave off the same vibe. And I think the Flyers respect Atkinson a great deal, and Atkinson respects them, that I think they're going to try to do what's best for him. And I think a buyout might be what's best.
Yeah.
It'll allow him to sign elsewhere at a much more reasonable cap hit. He might be able to kind of pick and choose where he wants to go. I mean, and it probably works well for the Flyers too.
Yeah, it's a big business decision, because obviously you can sit here and if you like every single guy on your roster but they're not performing the way that you need them to, you're going to come into some difficult decisions. And I think that that's kind of a prime scenario that you're going to be set up with Atkinson, that he's a good guy, he's a hardworking guy, but his role has significantly shifted since he was brought in, and you know, it doesn't fit the mold anymore. So, you know, it's very business on this end, but I think it'll be beneficial on both ends when it does happen. I'm not going to say if. I'm going to say when. I think it's kind of inevitable this year.
It feels like it. And Atkinson, a very driven guy. He's always proved people wrong in his career. I mean, he was a six-round pick, undersized six-round pick, who's gone on to have a very good career. He was very motivated and said he has a lot of juice left in the tank, but he said, Brooke, for the right situation. That just told me that I think he knows this is a more of a rebuilding team with younger players that took over bigger minutes. And he's probably looking at a different situation now where he will fit better somewhere else. And I think the Flyers could look at the trade route, but I'm not sure. It would be tough to sell his value. I mean, he's making bigger money, and he really got phased out towards the end of the season. His value's not, I think, very high. They would probably have to eat salary, whereas a buyout option just might be better, might be quicker, and I think it would give Atkinson a good chance probably to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on OpenTable. Brooke, speaking of trades, I think obviously everyone's going to be wondering, can Briere pull off some more trades this offseason?
What's going to happen?
He pulled off some trades last offseason. He moved Ivan Provorov. He moved Kevin Hayes.
I can't believe that that's only been 1 year.
A year ago.
I feel like that happened a lifetime ago.
It does.
The way that this season was just, it felt so unbelievably long. I can't believe that that happened last year.
There was things that happened in October and November that felt like it happened last season. I'm not even kidding.
I think back that the Gauthier trade happened in January.
Yeah, in January.
That seems like a lifetime ago.
It does. The final couple months of this season, for some weird reason, maybe it was because this team tends to be on the dramatic side. Let's be honest.
Crazy.
You know, good and bad can be on the dramatic side.
Yeah, the scale was just woo, woo.
So that does feel like forever ago. So yeah, the Provorov trade was it was last June. So not even a year ago.
Wow.
But yeah, busy offseason for Briere.
Yeah, back on topic.
Where he was moving players and really retooling the roster, trying to get younger, trying to add, I think most importantly, draft capital. Mm-hmm. He's been able to net some first round picks and deals. Are there some trade chips that are maybe the most attractive ones? A couple of them that come to mind are Scott Laughton. We all know that he has been talked about trade-wise for a couple
three years.
And Joel Farabee is one that I think might be out there. I think the Flyers could probably sell him very highly. A guy that had a career year, only 24, can play in all situations. Perhaps they could look to dangle his name out there and get a first-round pick in return, maybe add defensively. But long story short, what are the trade chips in your eyes, Brooke, that maybe Briere could use and weaponize?
I mean, you kind of hit nail on the head with Laughton and Farabee, but I also think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Morgan Frost this offseason.
Yeah.
Just because he's on the tail end of his really short bridge contract that he signed a couple years ago. And I just kind of feel like we're at the point with Frost where I don't know if we're going to get more out of him. And I'm not saying that he's underproduced, because during the Hextall draft era, everyone was so high on every single pick that he made, so obviously expectations are going to fall short if he's not a top line player, but he kind of falls in the middle of the pack. That's a whole different conversation for another day, but I think that it'll be really interesting to see what they do. I think that maybe you do move either a Frost or a Farabee this offseason. I don't see them moving both, but just given the circumstances, and I just feel like no matter how much Frost would try to make things work, I feel like there's still such a disconnect somewhere, and I don't know if that's within the organization, him and Tortorella. Obviously, at the point in the season where Frost went into Tortorella's office and is like, what can we do? How can we figure it out? Tortorella had an immense amount of respect for that, of course. And then things started clicking for Frost. And then he kind of fell off again. And, he kind of rides the waves of highs and lows, as many players do. But I think that, at this point in his career, it's really interesting. Do they see him as a part of this team long term still? And I think that maybe it's still a conversation worth having with Farabee as well, but in a different sense. Maybe you can get really great returns for Farabee, because I still don't think that we've seen his upside. And you have a young, really talented winger that maybe you can get some draft capital in. I don't know. And the Laughton thing, I'm just gonna keep going, Jordan.
Yes, please do, seriously.
The Laughton situation, I feel like if you were going to move him, you move him last year when you can get a first-round pick out of him. I don't think that Laughton is going to spend his entire career in Philly, but I also think that Danny Briere is going to crack down for what he has said from the jump, that you're obviously going to be listening. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're willing to move people, but if the situation is right and the cards fall the way that they need them to, I think Laughton moves too.
Yeah, big decisions. I do think, And Denny Briere said it at his exit interview that they'll be open for business again. I think last offseason they were probably more open for business. I think it was more of a massive overhaul. It was Briere's first offseason. They really wanted to kind of shape and mold the roster and really kind of kick this thing into gear. Mm-hmm. I think they have the roster a little bit more in the way they want to see it. So I don't think it's going to be as splashy of an offseason as it was last summer. But I do think they will be listening on guys. And when you listen on guys, you listen on your top trade chips. And I think some of them are going to be the Lawtons, the Frosts, and the Farabees. I thought it really opened my eyes when Danny Briere mentioned Joel Farabee at his exit interview and said he didn't develop quite the way they were hoping for. Yeah. And that he thinks there's a lot more there. They can take on bigger roles, him and Noah Cates. Farabee could probably come back and say, man, I had a career year. I had 50 points. I had career highs and goals. I played all 82 games again.
Like, what else do you want from me? Yeah.
So I think they really see a lot in Farabee, and they're going to push him to be a lot better. And I think they probably weren't thrilled with the way he finished. He kind of tapered off. His role fluctuated with John Tortorella. So, yeah, perhaps that's a name that they dangle out there a little bit.
Yeah.
But I my gut tells me Farabee and Frost will be back. I even think Scott Lawton will be back. But those are three names up front that come to mind where they could have some flexibility there. I think they could, you know, get draft capital back. They can maybe add to a position of need, perhaps defense.
Yeah.
Guys that I think will be attractive come around the NHL draft. And if not, maybe Lawton is revisited, Brooke, at the trade deadline. Unfortunately, that guy's probably going to have to go through it again at a trade deadline. I think it'll be three or four straight trade deadlines where he's heard his name rumored. But
And it's also another one that the name's kind of been thrown around a lot this year, especially the second half of the season, is Travis Konecny.
Yeah.
People are like, do you extend him? Do you give him a contract this offseason and let him play out like the best of his career, his years here in Philadelphia? Or do you move him while he's at the top of his game and try to get something else? I want him in Philly.
Yeah.
I think he is a prime Philadelphia Flyer. I think that he has the opportunity to really kind of just make this team his, I'm being honest. And I think it's just an interesting conversation that his name gets thrown around, and of course you're going to listen to it, but I think he's paid his dues, and I think he's deserving of maybe an extension this offseason. So he doesn't have to worry about it. He's a part of the team, the future of the organization and the rebuild, so that you can just focus on the game. Because even though you have players saying that these situations don't really affect you mentally, it's still in your head. It's still something that everybody's thinking about, because it's, you know, you're a team and you're family and you're all of this, but it's also the business. So you never know what's going to happen.
I'm so glad you mentioned Konecny. I didn't jot that down on my notes. That's a massive one. I mean, does he go into the year playing in a contract year, or does he go in having a new contract?
Right.
The Flyers obviously debated that long and hard with Claude Giroux going into that 2021-22 season. They both decided, let's play it out and see where things go. Boom, they have an awful year. Claude Giroux's moved, and the rest is history.
I mean, Owen Tippett, but like...
Yeah, yes.
By Giroux.
But that was a big decision was, do we commit long-term or get a new deal here? Travis Konecny, obviously a different situation. He's younger than Claude Giroux was. Giroux, it was more like, are they going to be competitive this year? But with Konecny, I wonder where they stand and if they want to reward him for what he's done and they view him as a guy that they can build around, or do they kind of let it play out, see where they go this year, and maybe Konecny will be one of the hottest names on the trade market come the deadline. I think he wants to stay, and I think the Flyers are actually leaning toward believing that he's a guy they can build around. I think they've seen more and more now. He's really answered the bell. And looks like a leader.
I mean, this, even off the ice, too. And I think that that is something that I clocked so fast this season with Konecny, is the level of maturity that he had post-games, wins or losses. Like, he was taking accountability. He was lifting up teammates. Like, it was just a kind of ownership that, not that he didn't have it in the past, but the way that he would present himself to media and to his teammates and you know, to all of Philly, is that he wanted to be a leader.
Yeah.
And I think that he kind of passed this, you know, secret test with flying colors to the point where he was rewarded with the letter this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be so honest. I really thought that, you know,
possibly
that they weren't.
Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a conversation that I remember us having mm-hmm. extensively at one point that, okay, they're not going to name anybody this season. And I think they're going to name Konechny leading into next year. That's how much I think the Flyers want Konechny to know mm-hmm. we got your back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm thrilled that he's an alternate. Do not get that wrong at all. I'm thrilled for him. But I definitely thought that he was going to be holding the C.
Yeah. No, that's how much he had,
yeah.
how far he had come, really, mm-hmm. in terms of leadership and looking like a guy that, you know, you want your team to follow. And I think he fits their timeline well. I really do. He's only 27. If the Flyers are better in 2 to 3 years, he'll be 30. He could very much still be, like, in his prime and getting better. I think he's still getting better. I think he could.
Yeah.
Think we've talked about it. He could probably flirt with 40 goals if he stays healthy and stays consistent. If he has a little more
help. If he was healthy this year, he would have had 40 goals.
Yeah, probably could have.
And then my fearless forecast would have been check and check this year. For those of you who don't know what a fearless forecast is,
check our website. No.
Yeah, we do something at the beginning of every season on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We do some crazy predictions and what we think the Flyers are going to do in terms of the playoffs. And I said that they're going to play meaningful hockey
yeah.
at the end of the season, but they're going to fall just shy. And I said that I had Konechny getting 40 goals
yeah.
this year. I was right there.
Yeah.
I was right there.
But Konechny had to get hurt. No.
Dang,
but the way
no.
he plays, yeah, the way he plays, he sometimes is prone to an injury or two.
He's a scrappy dude.
He's a scrappy guy, smart
happen.
Guy.
Yeah.
He plays his tail off. But yeah. Big question, huge question is, do they extend Konechny this summer? Does he go into a contract year? We will find out. But that is a big one. Brooke, I'm so glad you brought that up. And another
Thank
big
you.
One.
No. Thank you.
You're welcome. Another big one, and a guy that Konechny, or an area that Konechny obviously has a big role on, is the power play.
Womp womp.
How does Grier address the power play, Brooke, this offseason?
I don't know.
It sounds like Rocky Thompson will be back, the assistant coach.
Yes, that was apparent.
But Tortorella did make it very clear that they were going to be way more collaborative this offseason in terms of having so many more voices and to try to find answers here. But is it all in-house, Brooke? Is it in-house, or does Brie have to go out and maybe do something to address this?
I think it's
a big question.
I think it's interesting because, I'm all for collaborations and helping somebody be better at their job, but also if it's not working with somebody, I don't know how many other voices, like is it going to be a too many cooks in the kitchen situation, and then you're going in like 12 different directions, and then we're starting next season even more confused and disorganized on the power play than how we left it this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make the power play better.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be this dang bad. In the first place. It's historically bad. So you can hope and pray that it can only go up from here, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe prayer. Yes. No, I know. It's a question, like, when people ask me, like, what the heck's going on with the power play? Like, listen,
I don't know.
I'm not a coach.
That's
like,
my
honestly,
answer.
I'm not, like, you know, like, is it somewhat personnel driven? Absolutely. Is there a better coach out there? Possibly, but the Flyers have gone through coach after coach after coach. It was bad before Rocky Thompson got here. If anything, the fact that they want to get more voices in there from their hockey ops department does tell me that, you know, the pressure is definitely on Rocky Thompson, I think, going into this season. If they don't start to see some progress, perhaps they would think about making a change there in terms of who oversees the power play.
I mean, you also look at some of the power plays in the postseason this year, like, I get sick when I watch Edmonton on the power play because it is just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
It is unreal.
They score it well.
Colorado. Yeah. Like, these teams, they just... The Flyers will never be a successful playoff team until they at least figure out the power play to an extent.
Yeah.
But when you are playing against these teams where it's basically like every single time they have a man advantage, it's like, oh, they're going up a goal. They're going up because that's just how they're wired. They move so quick. The chemistry, the way that they – it's unreal.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the last time that I watched a Flyers power play, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Probably before my time.
Yeah, it might have been.
If I'm being so honest.
Yeah.
And that is really sad, because you're supposed to enjoy the power play.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I just don't.
And if people are wondering, like, does Breer address it externally, I don't think they're in a position yet to really go out and get, like, a player that's going to address it.
No.
Like, typically, if you get a guy that helps your power play, it's a bigger name, a guy that's, like, a more skilled offensive-minded player that you're probably in, you're contending. I don't think they're at a spot where they're going to be looking to make, you know, a huge addition. Maybe they make a marginal addition, a guy that's had some power play success that can help them in other areas and maybe give them a spark or be a part of the solution. But, you know, I don't think they're going to go out and get a big name that's going to, like, take their power play 10 spots higher. It's going to be in-house. I think they believe they have young talent that can help it. Now it's a matter of, I think it's going to come down to coaching, X's and O's, trying to find a strategy and a chemistry and all that stuff that goes into it. Maybe down the line, if they're a better team and they feel like they're further along at some point, they go out and get a big name.
Wait, Jordan Hall, does that mean you don't think that the Flyers are going to go out and get Trevor Zegras?
No, they are not.
What? I hope people can sense the sarcasm
in
that. And if not, I'm just going to label it
right
as it is.
No, they are not going to go out and get some huge name.
We're just going to swipe everybody from Anaheim that's actually good.
right? Everyone from the Ducks. But, so I don't think, I think that's something that this might be something they kind of weather. They kind of just weather the storm. Like, they're not there yet in terms of contending. So if your power plays bad or if it's, I think that the goal is, I think, just to get better.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to look at it to be, like, the best thing ever. It's just like, hey, let's get better. And then maybe it's something they address in a big way if they feel they're...
When it's necessary.
When the rebuild's kind of coming further into focus. But
yeah.
I do think they will, without a doubt, collaborate this offseason. It sounds like they want to include a lot of different voices and try to find solutions. And I definitely think the pressure will be on Rocky Thompson to start the year. They can't be last in the league. It's got to be better.
They can.
Yeah.
Jordan Hall.
We've seen it.
They can
we
be
have
last
seen
in
it.
The league.
It was actually last before Rocky Thompson got here even, which is crazy. But it needs to get better.
They scored 10 power play goals at 10 more power play goals at any point this season, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's how crazy it...
That's how it can simply sway from you making it or you not.
Yeah.
So, it's obviously important. I do think that they kind of just weather the storm until they realize, this is the group we got. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's roll with it.
Yeah.
All in.
And they have personnel that they've drafted and acquired that they thought would help in the power play. So it's not like they're lacking a ton of, like, Tyson Forster's got the best shot. You know, Owen Tippett's one of the faster players that could probably help you with entries, and he's a potential 35 goal scorer.
I think Tippett's going to have
Cam York's a
hell of a year.
Yeah, you have Tippett, you have Cam York, who looks like a power play quarterback, you have Drysdale now. So I think they really, what John Tortorella said, they need to look at it themselves. They got to look at themselves and say, we need to help these guys to be better because it's not like they're starting to get some talent there. I think they need to find some answers internally and not look externally yet. But it's without a doubt a big question, I think, facing Breer and company. Tortorella even mentioned, he's like, my GM was a very good power play guy.
Yep.
Like, I think they're actually going to listen to Danny Breer. He probably
as
should
they
be
should.
Focused. Yes, they should.
As
he
they
probably
should
be focused on the roster construction, but I think X's and O's, they actually might listen to Breer, too.
I think when you are an athlete in any capacity, no matter when you hang up the skates and turn into a coach or a front office position, it doesn't matter. You're always going to be wired like a player. So I encourage it.
Yeah.
That's honestly the last time I was excited about the power play is when Danny Breer was actively playing. So let's bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's
and
do
I
something.
And I think it's good that they're willing to try things. Like, they do have some bright minds, I think, in their hockey ops department. Patrick Schrupp's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's scored a lot of goals. John LeClair has done a lot in his career.
John LeClair,
Flyers
period.
Hall of Famer.
End the statement.
Don't
there.
Need to say
John
his resume,
LeClair.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think they do have some people, and it can't hurt to tap into that knowledge. And do I worry about too many cooks in the kitchen? Possibly. But I think come the season, they will kind of whittle things down and not have too many people barking out instructions. But
just got to try anything right
yes.
now. I think you just got to throw it at
much.
The
try
wall
anything.
And hope and pray that something sticks.
Yeah. But massive questions that I think we'll be talking about mm-hmm. all summer, Brooke, and I think we'll probably see it addressed throughout the summer by the Flyers' action, and we'll see what kind of action they take here. But, Brooke, thank you so much. I know we're just getting started on this off season, and
here we go.
Philly sports fans are probably tuning into some other teams. Tyrese Maxey, Sixers being one, the Phillies, the Eagles draft.
First MLB team to 20 wins.
Yeah, Phillies, I know.
Year. Eagles crushing it with the draft.
Yeah. So we know the Flyers right now are probably a little bit at the bottom of the barrel.
But we but still care, we so still you care, should too.
And we're gonna be having Flyers Talk podcasts every single week. We're going to be doing two some week, even through kind of the dog days of the summer or the off season. So anyway, Brooke, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to see you. Great to chat with you, as always. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, for hanging with us and always being there for us with our time. And Flyers fans, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino today in Philadelphia. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secure Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.